Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or Podcast Health. That's where you should get all your health information on podcasts, podcasthealth.com. I'm Dr. Mike Roizen, your host. We're coming to you live from the Cleveland Clinic, and Dr. Barsuk, I'll find out where he is because he has appointments both at Johns Hopkins and at the University of Pennsylvania. We'll find out where he is in a second. His book is Outsmarting Cancer, Risk Reduction, and the Power of Prevention. It's a book published by Johns Hopkins Press. Our sponsors, as usual, Life's First Naturals, the makers of Trubiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. And of course, ForYoungevity.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter and get the latest information on what's really science-based in the field of longevity. There are a huge number of people living with cancer who want to prevent a second cancer or recurrence. We'll find out how close what preventing cancer does with that as well from Dr. Barsuk. Adam, thank you very much for coming on. Are you in Philadelphia or Baltimore?
It is my pleasure, Dr. Roizen. I am still in Philadelphia finishing up residency, but I'll be starting my fellowship at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore this coming July.
And the motivation for writing this book, you're going to be an oncology fellow. I assume you're an internal medicine resident now. What motivated preventing it if you're going to be treating it for the next 40 years?
I think the two go hand in hand. I first got involved in oncology because I lost my grandparents who had raised me when I was in my teens. They were in the part of Ukraine where they may have been exposed to the Chernobyl nuclear accident. So for me, kind of the causes of cancer have always been top of mind. But I think as I advance in my training and I'm looking forward towards treating cancers and participating in trials to bring new products to market, it becomes more and more evident how important it is to also stress prevention, because otherwise we truly are going to bankrupt ourselves. Cancer research, cancer treatment is incredibly expensive, and it's only growing more so. So if we don't take a step back and also focus on prevention, there simply won't be the funding in our healthcare system or in the world at large to treat the people with cancer who need those treatments.
Now, one of the things you say in the book is a number of cancers, at least 50% of cancer, is preventable in advance by lifestyle choices. And in fact, you cite air, water, and plastics. Give us a little brief on those three. And we should say that if people want to find out more, they can go to Adam Barsuk, that's ADAMBARSOUK.com to find out more. Again, the book is Outsmarting Cancer. It's published by Johns Hopkins Press. So tell us how plastics, microplastics, I think you cited, as well as air and water contribute.
Exactly. So there was a recent Nature study that found something like 44% of all cancer deaths are preventable. It's a lot of contributing factors. The big ones are the ones that are top of mind for folks, smoking. But beyond that, there's a huge growth in cancer due to obesity and due to environmental exposures. Air pollution, water pollution, and microplastics all contribute a large amount to the cancer burden. All of our water is laced with these forever chemicals like PFAS, which are endocrine disruptors, which increase risk of multiple cancers. And now there's emerging evidence about microplastics, which are tiny breakdown products, basically ubiquitous in all the water supply everywhere. And we know that they're associated with infertility. There's growing evidence that they may be associated with several types of cancer as well. So that really stresses that we're kind of lost as to why are we seeing such a growth in cancers among young adults. It's more than doubled in the last 30 years. And I think we're going to see that these microplastics, these endocrine disruptors, and the ultra-processed foods are going to be there's going to be a lot of evidence around their contribution to the rise in cancer.
Tell us how the microplastics, what's the mechanism of that?
So there's several mechanisms purported. One of them is that the plastics themselves are irritants. They're tiny little pieces that affect the lining of the tissue. So when you drink water, they're affecting the lining of your kidneys, your bladder. They're also, plastics are mimicking endocrine hormones, right? So a lot of them act as if they put your hormone signaling into like an aberrant state. They increase DNA damage and cause like reactive oxygen species. So our body tries to use them in metabolism and it doesn't know how to use them. So instead it causes errors in metabolism that hurt the cells around them. So there's a lot of, you know, interesting data on a biochemical level, but I think that we still need to see the clinical data, right? It's too early to know for sure that this process is actually causing cancer on a human level.
In addition to the biggest one, which you cited was still tobacco and vaping, I suppose, and obesity, what's the next thing you would change in our habits to get us to have a lower risk of cancer?
After tobacco and after obesity, and there's a lot of data about obesity-related cancers, I would say the third largest is probably alcohol consumption. Alcohol itself is a carcinogen. It increases your risk of stomach, liver cancer. There's no safe amount of alcohol, right? So obviously a lot of people drink, but the recommendations right now is less than a drink a day for men or women because there truly is no safe amount of alcohol. And beyond that, you know, it really is the environmental exposure. So it's important for people to look into their water quality, their air quality. If you live in an urban setting with a lot of air pollution, to have plants and air filters at home, to have water filters with charcoal at home. And lastly, I think one thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is radon, which is a radioactive gas that is found across the United States. Most people are living in areas, zip codes, that have high levels of radon, especially in their basement. So it's so important if you're in one of these zip codes and you can look it up to test your basement to see whether you have exposure to this radon gas, because it's the second leading cause of lung cancer after smoking.
Yeah, I will tell you that before we moved into our house, we did get a radon test, not the current house, but a prior one. They said, there's no radar in this area, and it actually was a very high level. Then you get what would be called mitigation, so where they can fairly easily reduce it to zero. I was surprised how easy it was and low cost it was to reduce it to zero. So simple testing. Another thing I learned is how important the particulates in air were from your book. Is there an easy way of finding out what the particulates in your particular, in other words, we all know to live 7 blocks from a freeway reduces your particulates dramatically. Is there a way of finding out exactly the particulates in your area? Is there a simple measuring device like on a iPhone or something like that?
Well, so it varies with the weather and the conditions. I think the easiest way to know on a day-to-day basis is what's called the Air Quality Index, which is available on all weather apps. So if you pull that up and you see it's a high number, a high index, like 100 or greater, that means the air quality is bad that day. And there's a lot of these particulates which can irritate the lungs and cause lung cancer. When you see it's smoggy outside or you see that the air quality index is poor, it's very helpful to wear masks outside and to run your air filters inside and to keep windows closed. Especially like here in the Northeast, we have these fires in the summers, which cause a lot of the like smog and smoke in the air. So when conditions are like that, it's particularly important to use masks and air filters.
We should remind people we're talking to Dr. Adam Barsuk, B-A-R-S-O-U-K, the author of Outsmarting Cancer, Risk Reduction, and the Power of Prevention. Now, you've been writing a lot, so how did you get into writing, and then how did you get into medicine, and you're a great writer, obviously. How did you get involved in this field, the combination field?
For me, communication was always a huge part of why I chose to go into medicine. I was first, when my grandparents passed from cancer, I first got involved in a cancer research lab where I worked for several years. And I found that what I was most passionate about was communicating the findings from the lab for everyday people, for lay people, to help them understand what the research is showing and how to change our lifestyles and our therapies and so forth accordingly. So that desire to communicate complex information for a general audience is what led me towards becoming a doctor, but also what has inspired me to continue writing and trying to advocate for research funding, advocate for more public health and prevention on the whole, because I think these are, as we discussed earlier, these are kind of part and parcel and honestly essential for the survival of our healthcare system going forward.
One of the things you cite and we talk about often, side effects of the GLP-1s are often incredibly beneficial. You cite that GLP-1s also can play a role in cancer prevention, and that's partially because of the reduction in obesity. Is there another reason?
It's specifically the obesity. The way it works is very interesting because a lot of the same mechanisms that your body uses to metabolize foods are also what cancers use to grow and spread. There are interesting data that GLP-1 use is associated with a lower risk of up to like 14 different types of obesity-related cancers, colorectal, breast, ovarian. The GLP-1s themselves may actually inhibit certain pathways that the tumor uses to grow. So I think that there's a lot more data that's needed to fully understand the effect, but we can say for people who are overweight, who are struggling to lose weight, they're definitely a good tool, but they're not the only, you know, they can't be the be all and end all. It's important to also focus on improving your diet, on improving your physical activity, because the GLP-1s, they really do are only a temporary fix, right? When you stop taking the drug, you stop seeing the effect.
Now, how important is physical activity to cancer prevention?
I think it's not as important as diet, but there is some data that sedentary lifestyle is associated with cancer risk as well. Now, it's hard to parse out, right, how much of that is obesity versus other reasons, but it very clearly they found that people who say sit more than 6 hours a day, who don't exercise, they have higher risks of dying of cancer, they have higher risks of getting colon and endometrial lung cancers. So something about physical inactivity is clearly bad for the body and should be part and parcel with a healthy diet, with minimizing ultra-processed foods and so forth.
Got it. When we look at longevity in general, stress and stress management is the most important of all. So we say posse, purpose, and play are the keys. How much does stress affect cancer rates? How does it work? Is it through the immune system or what process does that work?
Without a doubt, chronic stress is associated with immune suppression. So when you're always stressed physically or mentally, your immune system doesn't work as well. It gets tired. And the truth is the immune system is the key to cancer prevention. When, you know, your immune system is always surveilling for new cancers, it's on the look for cells that are becoming aberrant, that are evolving into cancer, and it finds them and it eliminates them. So anything that boosts your immune system is also going to boost your body's defenses against cancer. So we know that chronic stress is associated with immunocompromise, and there is some emerging data that chronic stress is also associated with cancer risk.
I want to thank Dr. Adam Barsuk. His website to find out more about the book, Outsmarting Cancer, Risk Reduction, and the Power of Prevention, is Adam, AdamBarsuk.com. We, as usual, are brought to you by Life's First Naturals. Go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com, for information on Truebiotics, bovine colostrum, and dye rescue. See the randomized double-blind studies they've done to show the effectiveness of those in specific instances. And for more information on longevity in general, you can go to 4Youngevity, the number 4, youngevity.com, sign up for the free newsletter. My own blog is at michaelfroisenmd.substack.com. Dr. Barsuk, thank you very much for talking to us and teaching us about Outsmarting Cancer, the actual name of your book as well.
My pleasure. It's available everywhere.
Thanks again, Adam. And for the 50,000 of you or so who download us, thank you very much. Remember, Podcast Health is the best place to get your podcasts relating to health. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. This was 1273B.